Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, September 8th, 2015. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you doing, Brian?
Orangutan. Wait, you asked me what my favorite animal was, right?
Yes. Yes, I did. Okay. And John, what is your favorite fruit?
Brian Chaffin.
Wow. I did not see you going there.
That's how we're going to play this one today. All right, sir.
Good morning.
I am ready.
Well, okay, so I take it this means John got over his gentlemanly attitude towards winning the debate.
Apparently.
Over Apple TV content. Wow.
Well, what else was there to say?
apparently, that was it. Hey, we have a sponsor this week, and our sponsor is Downcast, the really awesome podcast management and playback app for your iOS devices and your Mac. So, yay, Downcast. All right. The first topic I want to get into, and now seeing how John is today, I'm just really worried how these are all going to play out.
Yeah.
But sometimes I guess we're just along for the ride. So John, you talked on Friday about how you see Apple being able to successfully compete with Amazon. And I thought we should dive into that just a little bit.
Well, it all started when I had a chance to go back and watch a TV special called Amazon Rising. It had been on my DVR for a long time, and it really brought home to me several things. The tremendous focus and almost maniacal ability of Amazon to sell products, to the point where the whole idea of bringing out a smartphone called the Amazon Fire Phone was to use a feature called Firefly to help you buy things even better, as opposed to, you know, making your life better. So with that on my mind, I started thinking about the evolution of how our phones and our technologies become more and more complex over the years. And I started the article by reminiscing about the Homebrew Computer Club in the 70s and how complex computers were. You had to order parts and solder and put things together and do, you know, machine language and have lots of buttons and connect to a power supply and get your Apple One up or your other homebrew computer. And Steve Jobs came along and he said, you know, there's really a market for home computers. You can do a lot of fun things with it, be productive, but we got to make it more easy to use. And it can never be a commercial success until it's virtually an appliance. And I recall a comment Steve Jobs made back in those days where he said, there's no such thing as a Maytag washer users group. You don't need one. You put your clothes in, push a few buttons. So 40 years later, and you think about the simplicity of the Apple II and the original Macintosh and just put a floppy in and, you know, start doing stuff on the desktop. Think about the amazing complexity of our technical lives, and we've got backups, and we've got Apple Music, and we've got iTunes, and we got all these things to manage, and we got synchronizing with our phones, and we've got internet access and security things to attend to, and the complexity of all our products. Things have kind of really gotten out of hand, and one of the things Apple does a really good job of is helping us learn and wade through that technology by making things not only simple, but by, you know, educating us and having friendly, helpful people in the Apple stores and lots of support information and people on the phone you can call with help when you have a problem with your device and AppleCare and Geniuses. So in this day and age, it's with high technology, it's not just about selling. It's not just about moving products into people's hands, but it's really about learning and understanding how your technology pieces fit together. And so that was the gist of the contrast between Apple, which is a company that's all about dealing with the technology gracefully and learning and understanding and being productive, versus the idea of just simply moving goods in brown boxes out the door.
All right. So, for you, it's really about Apple being able to essentially make a community and foster that community.
Yes. And that's why we have Apple users groups, but we don't have Amazon users groups. I mean, that's kind of a trite thing to say, but it kind of indirectly makes my point.
We have Apple user groups for now. By and large, they're an endangered species. And this is, from someone who thinks they're great. Just to quibble a little bit.
Yeah, Brian, I fear you're right. And I'm saying this as someone that has been very active in the Apple user group community for a very long time. I think the days of the user group, for the most part, are waning.
Well, this actually sparks a thought in me. So John's thesis here is that Apple is able to compete with Amazon in part because it offers community, and it also offers educational opportunities for customers, places for them to learn about products so that they can actually make informed choices. And that it's a great thesis. I can't quibble with that at all. And by extension, that other companies that want to compete with Amazon need to do the same thing. It was something you wrote about, John, in that.
Right, Best Buy.
Best Buy is an example of that. But sort of like this completely tangential flip side, we have long blamed the internet and social media for the decline of Mac user groups. Say young people get their information online and in social media and whatnot, and that's true, but at the same time, our need for community as Mac users has largely been supplanted by Apple stores. So, to a certain extent, Apple stores themselves have greatly contributed, maybe even more than this. This disparity between what young people want and what older people want.
Well, Steve Jobs mentioned that. Recall that when Apple was in the process of eliminating Macworld New York and Macworld San Francisco, the argument always was, well, we can reach so many more customers. And the numbers were rolled out about how many attendees a Macworld would have and how many Apple customers rolled into their stores every week. Remember that?
I do.
I remember Steve Jobs making a comment along the lines of, we don't need to have a Macworld conference because we're doing that every day in our own stores.
Right. And I think there's nothing wrong with users groups waning because the methods by which the community communicates with each other, constantly changes and morphs. And it's nice to get together, and have a bagel and sit next to people and chat around the table and meet people. And that still happens, but maybe the decline is related a little bit to the success of the different social media and communication methods and education and websites on the internet, because there's so much information out there available about Apple now.
Yeah, I'm gonna repeat my point, though, because it seems to have just flown right by. The need for community is not being met online. The need for community is being met by Apple stores. And I don't think we've given Apple stores credit for the demise of Mac user groups, but I think we probably should. And I'll point out that the Mac user groups that do thrive, CatMac being the one that I'm most familiar with in Austin, it thrives in part because of the community, the location that they meet in, which is a pub, and the organizational skills of its leaders, including Nancy Carol Gravely, who writes for us.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Nancy rocks.
And so they're doing something to foster community that is different from what the Apple Store provides. I'm not sure I could put my finger on that, but by definition, by the mere fact that CatMac does thrive, says that they are meeting the needs of people that are not being met elsewhere.
Yep, I think you just nailed something there, Brian. And I'm with you. I can't put my finger on exactly what it is, but there's something that the user groups are still providing that an Apple Store just can't do. And you know what? Tonight, I'm going to be at Mac and Tech, which is a Mac user group that meets in South Denver. And I'm going to ask them what it is that they are getting from the user group that they don't get the Apple Store, because now you have me really wondering.
The other thing that I talked about in my article was the resurgence of Best Buy and an analysis at the LA Times about the relationship between the salespeople and the customers being slowly revamped at Best Buy. It used to be that the salespeople were more interested in their spiffs and more interested in directing you towards specific products than helping you. And I think the insertion of the Apple store within a store and Apple's success and Apple's sizing up of the situation about how to conduct a retail business the way Apple does, instead of being put out of business by Amazon, is a good sign.
Yeah, and that means that Best Buy is no longer, at least to a degree, just a physical showroom for Amazon. So go Best Buy. Hey, I'd love to keep talking about this, but I really want to make sure that we have time for the other topic I want to hit. And I also wanted to let everyone know about our sponsor this week, which is Downcast. And Downcast, if you're not familiar with it, is an application for your Mac, for your iPhone, for your iPad, and for your Apple Watch that lets you manage and play the podcasts that you enjoy listening to every week, which clearly includes TMO Daily Observations, hopefully also includes Apple Context Machine, and also Mac Geek Gab, because, they are all really good podcasts, and I feel like I've been in this community long enough to know what I'm talking about. So anyhow, Downcast, what it does is it lets you manage your podcasts in a way that a lot of people find to be much easier and friendlier than Apple's own podcasts app. And it uses iCloud to synchronize where you are in shows across your devices. So you can start listening on your Mac, pick up on your iPhone, and carry on, and then move on over to your Apple Watch, too. I just love that they have Apple Watch support. That's so cool. Which means that now you have a way to be able to go out on a walk or a run, listen to a podcast while you're leaving your iPhone behind, which is something Apple doesn't let you do with their own podcast app. So what you need to do is go to downcast.fm/TDO, and that's going to give you a link that will get you back to where you need to be on the App Store so that you can buy your own copy of Downcast. It's $2.99 on iOS, which is quite a bargain. So go pick it up. And Downcast, thank you for being our sponsor this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally rocks. Okay, so the other thing I wanted to look at before we wrap up, Brian, you wrote a very interesting piece, and I find it interesting on a couple levels, about how Apple is winning the TV everywhere battle right now. And that in and of itself I find interesting. But the other part that I find interesting is that it's Adobe saying that Apple is winning this battle.
It's true. So Adobe has a research arm, which was news to me, to be honest, but what do they call it? The Adobe Digital Index. It's a research arm. And they did, they released a survey on TV everywhere, which meaning TV that you can watch on any kind of device. And according to them, Apple dominates that with some 60, let me actually get this correct. So I thought it was 61%. Yeah, 61%. Apple devices account for 61% of actual viewing for TV everywhere, according to Adobe Digital Index. And Apple had three of the top four devices, Apple TV and iPad and is it iPhone? And then PCs were the fourth.
Now, PCs
includes Macs.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. So that was an interesting aspect. I mean, just Apple is just crushing this. You know, there's all those Android devices out there, but people are actually watching TV with their Apple devices.
You know, this is very interesting. It also adds some validation to the snarky comment Tim Cook made, was it a year or so ago, where he said people use their iPads, but they take their Android devices and put them in drawers.
Yeah, well, that's the thesis that I've been operating on for a long time, is that the Android tablets were being bought, but they weren't actually being used. Of course, you know, iPad sales themselves are going down, but I think that's largely because, well, that's a rabbit hole for another time. Apple's right. devices are actually being used, and that is super interesting.
Yeah, it is. I mean, considering how many electronic devices people buy that get used for a few days or a few weeks and then never again, to see the retention that the iPad gets yeah. among its users, that, I mean, that's really fascinating.
It is. And Adobe also said that while TV everywhere has greatly expanded, that expansion is slowing. And they said, and I'm quoting, what we're starting to see is that potentially some of the friction in the process of setting up TV everywhere or figuring out which device you want to use might be starting to cause a slowdown. We think generally the demand is there, but we've reached a tipping point where to get to the next level, it needs to be simpler to sign in. Kind of coming back to John's point about how Apple makes everything simpler. As a matter of fact, that was actually Adobe's point. They essentially said that this is a market all set for Apple to turn around and make things simple with an Apple TV, a new Apple TV, to really increase TV everywhere viewing.
And this goes back to what you were saying about Steve Jobs making the comments to Walter Isaacson that he cracked the TV thing.
Yeah. So another Adobe Digital Index person said, quote, it doesn't take much for something to come along that makes everything so much easier to use that adoption goes into a hockey stick pattern. I would actually quibble that it takes a lot for that to come along. Otherwise, it would come along all the time, but whatever. To finish the quote, that could very well happen. That's what happened with the iPhone. So it's I don't know. It was an interesting report that that Adobe came out with, and it came out right before Apple is expected to announce new Apple TV hardware. So you know, it right. seems like lots of people are in projecting all sorts of things onto what Apple's new Apple TV might do.
That's one of the things I'm going to be watching for tomorrow, is that exact process. Just what, aside from the physical capabilities of the next generation product and the fact that it may run games and apps, just what is it about this device that's going to make it so much more fun and joyful to use? That's what I'll be looking for.
Well, fair enough. But keep in mind that the subscription TV service that we've heard so much about for so long is still not expected until next year.
Right. But it'd be interesting to see what the groundwork is being laid. What in terms of the capacity, the capabilities, the design, the strategy of the device, we might be able to see Apple forward looking to a day because of the design of the device when that subscription service will arrive.
And they have their own TV shows.
Well, maybe they will. Maybe they will.
Wow, John, you handled that far differently than I expected, considering the way the show started. Wow. Hey, we are out of time, so we're going to have to wrap up. Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for having us, man.
It's always awesome. And John, thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
And Downcast, thank you for being our sponsor this week. Head over to downcast.fm/TDO and pick up a copy of Downcast for your iOS device. It's only $2.99. Totally worth it because it's just a fantastic way to manage and listen to the podcasts that you enjoy hearing every single week. Listeners, thank you for being here with us as well. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.